Look at verses 1 through 3. Numbers chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Verse 1 to 3 from the NASB. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this week, and we ask for your grace and your strength. And Lord, we just pray for revelation of your word. And so, God, we just ask that that you would receive our worship today. And we thank you for this time, and we devote it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we see the story of the Israelites complaining, which they do many times, numerous. God saves them. God delivers them. God takes care of them. God provides for them. Yet they complain. They grumble. They complain. And so here we see an episode where God is just done with the complaining. You know, God, rich in mercy, abounding in love. But here is an instance where they continue to complain, and God decides, you know what, enough is enough. And so the people complained, the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of God burned among them and consumed some of the camp. And so in this week that we're celebrating Thanksgiving, I just wanted to talk about complaining versus Thanksgiving. And Dr. Dale Robbins writes that, "I used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize that people have problems because they complain. And complaining doesn't change anything or make situation better. It just amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with their lives." And so this idea of complaining actually amplifies, and I like how he says it amplifies frustration, and it doesn't change anything. Psalm 77 says, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." This is the psalmist saying about how it's natural for us to be upset or discontent or complaining and things like that. But as he complains, his spirit was overwhelmed. And as we talked about on Sunday, that the remedy to get rid of that overwhelming spirit is to make God bigger in your life, to increase the vision of God in your life, so that your problem and your situation decreases. But as you complain and as you amplify either your circumstance or your difficulty, your spirit becomes more overwhelming. And there's this psychological term called venting and things like that, and many psychologists says that it's good to vent and things like that. But what happens is that when you actually do that, you're amplifying sort of that frustration. You may think you're getting that off your chest, but what happens is, unless there is an actual change in that circumstance or a change in your heart or a change in your spirit, you come back and then you notice either yourself or other people, they'll keep complaining and they'll keep complaining and they'll keep complaining. And so before you realize that, when you're focused on the problem, your spirit becomes overwhelmed. The Bible talks a lot about complaining and grumbling and things like that, and it basically says, don't do it. Stop. Just stop it. Philippians 2:13, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may live blameless and pure children of God." When we complain, it's a symptom of something that's in our hearts, and that's what we need to address. That's what we need to take care of, is that heart issue, that when you complain, it's a symptom of what's going on in your heart. And many times it is a deep-seated spiritual problem of a failure to trust God. We see that here with the Israelites, that they complain because they've been delivered, they've been provided for, but they don't think that God knows what he's doing. They don't think that God loves them. They don't think that God is going to take care of them. They don't believe in God's faithfulness, even though he's demonstrated his faithfulness every step of the way. They just don't trust him completely. And so when we complain, or when the Israelites are complaining, they're basically complaining against their trust in the Lord. It's a failure to trust and submit for his provision over their lives. I mean, God has greatly blessed his people, supernaturally delivered them, things like that. But they complain about the food. They complain about the imaginary luxuries of Egypt. You know, I mean, the scriptures tell us that they dreamed of going back to Egypt, and they had this weird idea that it was a better life in Egypt, things like that. And so when the people complained, it displeased God, the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And they began to just be discontent with how things are going. And so, as I said, the Bible strongly condemns complaining and things like that. A big problem is that we focus on what's frustrating us, and we forget about the big picture of God. Right? We're going through a situation, we're going through a problem, and we're complaining about it, and so we're frustrated, and so now we're focused on the frustration instead of picturing on the big picture of God. And so it really depends on your perspective. If you look at from the Israelites' point of view, they could have either taken the route of, wow, God has done miraculous things, and even though I don't like the taste of manna, I'm just thankful that I have something to eat. You know, even though this promised land or this journey is through a desert, I'm thankful that we're not back into slavery. And so you have two sides of the coin, and if you look at your life and the situation that you're complaining about, yeah, that situation is quite bad probably and quite horrible and stuff, but you still have a job. You still have a place to live. You still have food on the table. If we begin to count our blessings and begin to be thankful for the things that we do have, and you'll see that that is more numerous than the things that you want to complain about. And as you begin to focus on the things that you're thankful for that are way more numerous, infinitely more numerous than the things that we have to complain about, then you're able to see the greater picture of God. And if you're able to see the greater picture of God, it's easier to trust him. It's easier to walk in his ways. It's easier to just be thankful for those things. There's a story of two boys looking at the same situation, and they're eating some grapes, and one of them, wow, these grapes are really sweet. And the other said, I guess so, but he replied, they're full of seeds. And so one boy would, two boys eating the same grapes, one would focus on the sweetness of the grapes, and the other focuses on the seeds of the grapes. And I don't know about you, but I tend to focus on the seeds. You know, it's like, dang, man, you know, what's with these seeds? And so they, you know, and forgetting that these are actually great, but it's just that one stumbling block of the seeds that kind of ruins the greatness of everything else. The boys wandered into the garden outside, and the first boy exclaimed, whoa, look at those huge roses. They're beautiful. And the other commented, wow, look at the thorns. And so it was a warm day, and they wanted to go to the store for the drink, and the first boy drank some, and the second boy said, man, now my bottle's half empty. And the first boy said, well, it's still half full. And so depending on who we are as people, you know, do you see the cup as half full, half empty? It's the same, but it's really that perspective. And the grumblers and the complainers will see, man, it's half empty. But those who are thankful will say, well, at least I have half. When you go to an area of devastation, like the Philippines and things like that, and everything is gone, and, you know, the food that we brought actually is probably not something that we would line up for, to eat. It's just rice and some, you know, Vienna sausage type corn hash and just canned things. We wouldn't line up for those things. Yet these people line up for, you know, for hours sometimes for rice and this kind of food. It's just a really matter of perspective, you know, that they are thankful for this. Yet if we were to line up for that, you know, we would be grumbling and complaining, and in many instances probably rightly so. But it's about the fact that they're fed and they're receiving food. Just quickly, I just want to talk over that. Complaining is a gratitude problem. When we complain, it's a gratitude problem. Usually our complaining and grumbling comes from a response of pain or the problems of life, because we expect that we should experience the pleasures and rather than pain, that we should experience prosperity instead of adversity. And so grumbling is a gratitude problem. Second of all, grumbling is a perception problem, that we perceive that that our lives are actually worse than it really is. And this is not to minimize or negate just the challenging stresses of our lives and things like that, but when we complain and grumble, usually it's because we have a faulty perception. For the Israelites, there's an exaggerated memory of their past, right? Their perception was Egypt was better. They were treated better in Egypt. That was a faulty perception. So they compare their current situation to their past. And for a lot of us, we think that the past was better, or the previous place was better, or the previous location is better. Anything is better than what we're going through now. And that could be a faulty perception. You know, I think when, as I mentioned, you know, when you first moved to Hong Kong, your perception is faulty, because you think, you know, everything about a new place, because it's foreign, you know, that your previous place is better. And then as you come to live in Hong Kong for, you know, a few years or for some time, you begin to be thankful for some of the things in Hong Kong compared to the past. And if you were to continue to live in the past, you're going to have probably a wrong perception of your situation. And so we complain and we complain and complain. And so definitely I've had to, every time I wanted to complain about Hong Kong, I've always had to just be thankful for the good things about being in this place. And as I, you know, so, you know, we make up lists and we're thankful for this, and we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for that. About living here in Hong Kong and things like that. And now, you know, we're at a place where, yeah, you know, we really enjoy being here. And so you've got to change your perception. Fourth, complainers are never satisfied with what they're given, right? If we complain, and I find myself doing that a lot, it's like, you know, before, I remember when going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, right, was just an incredible, like, luxurious experience. And I remember the first time, just I couldn't stop talking about it, couldn't stop thinking about it, desiring and wanting to go back, and just the softness as the knife goes through the meat and the taste of the butter, and it is like, this is the most amazing steak. I come to Hong Kong and I've had it a few times, and now, like, it's whatever, it's, you know, it's just a piece of meat and things like that. And I stopped to just be shocked at my own attitudes, just not satisfied with what was given, whereas once was incredible and luxurious. It's the same, you know, restaurant, same piece of meat, you know, same meat. And it's just like, yeah, it used to be something so satisfying, and now it's just a whatever. And so we begin to complain. It's like, oh, you know, it's not that good. It's not that great, and things like that. And I'm just shocked at sort of just my perception, or maybe, you know, my idea. And you complain. Complainers are never satisfied with what's given to them, things like that. And so we need to be thankful for what we're given. And finally, complainers are never satisfied with how much they're given, because we always think we should be given more. That we deserve more, and we want more. It reminds me of the story where God tells the people to gather enough manna for just that day. And some began to get more than what God wanted them, and then that spoiled, and that was not the right procedure and things like that. You know, complainers are never satisfied with how much they're given, whether it be financial resources, whether it be, you know, emotional resources, or whatever it is. Complainers always are not satisfied with how much they're given. And so the remedy for that is, instead of complaining, is thanksgiving. And as we thank the Lord, we're going to receive more and see that we have more. That we'll see that we'll be satisfied with what we're given, because it is satisfying, that Jesus is satisfying, that what God has given us, His grace is satisfy. And that when we begin to thank God more, that it fixes our perception. And we begin to thank God more, it fixes our gratitude problem. And so this week, want to just focus on gratitude and being thankful for what God has blessed us with and given us. And we want to turn our complaints and grumbling into gratitude and thanksgiving. So let's pray this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's meditate upon our blessings. Many Thanksgiving dinners, families will go around and say what they're thankful for. And usually it's the same big things. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church community. And it usually ends there. But I want to encourage you and challenge you to think of all the small things that you're thankful for. Think of all the little things. Hopefully your list of thankfulness will be huge, because it can be huge. There are many things to be thankful for. But if your list is very small, that needs to increase. That needs to increase. And so this morning, as we pray, meditate, worship, seek the Lord, may we just meditate on all the things that we can be thankful for. So Father, we're thankful that we have a place of worship. We're thankful that we're able to wake up in the morning to seek your face. God, we're thankful that we have jobs to go to and people that love us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for delivering us. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for your grace. So God, we just honor you today. Let's worship him this morning.
Surrender. to you, all to you. And I surrender and all to you, all to you. And I surrender.
Let's begin to pray for our community, and in the midst of our prayers, let's thank the Lord for them. Let's thank the Lord for, even though they're going through illness and cancer and things like that, that they would be able to see and be thankful and to have gratitude, even in the midst of their pain. So let's pray for those with cancer. Let's ask the Lord to bring healing and perspective and just grace and peace. Let's ask the Lord to fill them with their spirit, with His spirit, and with His presence. And so let's lift them up in prayer right now. Pray for those who are suffering from cancer and still need to have a relationship with Jesus. And let's just pray for their families, and let's just thank the Lord that there's an opportunity for them to receive Christ. And so let's just lift them up in prayer. Let's cover them. Pray for those who are sick and ill, and let's pray for those on the screen, and also those around you that you know, family members, friends that are ill. Let's ask the Lord to visit and heal them today. So let's pray for them. Pray for those looking for jobs and employment. Let's ask the Lord to give them grace, and during this time, let's ask the Lord to open doors for them. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for our community focus today, and it's China. And so let's lift up our SP Beijing Church for Pastor Sam and the community there, and thank God for just their move, God's perfect timing, and as God's growing them and blessing them, let's ask for protection. Let's pray for the Chong family or missionaries that they're on a furlough sabbatical right now as they ask the Lord for their next steps. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Let's pray for the Basarabas, for Leanne, who's also in Beijing, for Edie Clark, and for Chichihar kids, and for the churches in China. So let's ask the Lord to breathe revival into China. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for the staff, and many of them will be away for Nate and Mon's wedding. So let's just pray for their families. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for just vision, and pray for grace and strength. So let's lift up our leaders, our staff today. Let's pray for our worship team and our AV team. Let's pray that God would raise up more servants and for these areas. And let's just ask the Lord to bless them. So let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting, Robinson West, Kennedy, OPR, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Sha Tin. Let's ask the Lord to breathe life into these communities, that they would experience true fellowship and experience the love of God in their communities. So let's bless them right now as we pray for them. Father, for all the complaints that we have in our hearts, for all the grumbling that we feel, for all the discontent that we have, God, would you turn it around? Would you change it and transform it to praise and gratitude and thanksgiving, Lord? And God, we pray that our discontent would fuel us into something else, God, that would glorify your name, Lord. And so, Father, we just want to bless you today. We want your presence to go before us. Lord, we want to walk with you today. Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit today? We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we just want everything to be focused upon glorifying you. God, so speak to us, God. Be with us, Lord. Remind us of your grace. Lord, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.